that have lifted some of the barriers and burdens that voters face when it comes to accessing absentee ballots, when it comes to notary and witness requirements for voters who may be quarantined at their home because of their health. But organizations like mine, the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, have been working day and night in the courts to address some of those states that have failed to lift the barriers. Some of the bad actors include Texas, Tennessee, Texas, Tennessee, and others. My hope is that all voters who want to have voice will be able to do so in the days that remain in the 2020 election.
Kristen Clark, I want to thank you so much for being with us. President and Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. That does it for our broadcast. Just remember, in these last days leading up to the final election day, stay safe, save lives, wear a mask, and vote.
Ya no pienso mantener este cariño. Ya no pienso mantener este cariño.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
This is KBOO Portland. It is 8 a.m. It is Friday. Mind that gap, because we're going to bridge it. Stay tuned.
Girls, we run this dick. Girls, we run this dick. Girls, we run this dick. Girls, we run this.
Good evening. Good morning. How is everyone? This is KBOO Portland, your friendly neighborhood connection, 90.7 FM. And it is what it is. I am Tammy, and you're listening to The Gap. My lovely co-host, whom I can see, is right there. I'm pointing at you. Hello, Althea Billing.
Hello. Good to be here. Seems like I'm a little hot there, but yeah, great to be able to visibly see you and not, you know, metaphorically be saying, you know, good to connect with you. Too many syllables there,
good
I think.
Good to e-meet.
Yeah, e-meet. E-meet. E-meet doesn't roll off the tongue. I don't really like that one.
What are we, in the 90s? Early 200s? 2000s? What's going on?
Everything's E.
Cyber.
Cyber, yeah. We cyber met.
That brings me back to the good old days. I remember that. ASL, do you remember that?
Sure,
yeah.
Sure, yeah.
And in the studio also with us, Sonia's always in the studio, but now we can visibly see you.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's good to see y'all. It's good to be seen.
Good, good. So yeah, this is The Gap, and this is KBOO. In case you aren't hip, we are still in our membership drive. That's right, this has been a long one this time, but obviously things are different these days, so
yeah,
we're just
kind of a slow burn, really making people wait for it.
And we actually got another match.
Oh, nice.
for this month, same as last month. So every dollar that you donate today will be doubled. It's like a BOGO deal. Mm-hmm. Except more. Yeah, your dollar goes a long, long way.
Yeah, not just like Wheat Thins, you know? Shout out Wheat Thins. BOGO! I'm taking BOGO.
But when I think BOGO, I think of Payless.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, every dollar that you donate today will be matched from a couple of generous anonymous donors. So shout out to anonymous donor. Really appreciate it. And thank you all for tuning in. And if you'd like to help out the cause, you can go to kboo.fm and go to the donate button. But when you log in, you'll just see a page pop up right up there. And if you do feel like, you connect with us here at The Gap, we would love to know that by, you can put on a little in the comment when you donate. And we would gladly add Audible Musings.
Audible Musings. That sounds classy, and it is, we should say. But yeah, as a thank you gift, Tammy and I are happy to record you some kind of audio missive or message of your choice. Could be your outgoing phone message. Tammy wants to yell at your uncle.
I do.
If, you know, you just...
Stop it, Frank.
And here's what I'm thinking. Sound effects in real life. You need somebody, you know.
You just need someone to clap for you.
Yeah, we'll clap for you. And it'll be real authentic clapping, not the canned stuff. You know, like, we really are excited. Anyway, put that in the notes if you want a little audio thing that we can make for you. Just as a thank you for supporting our wonderful radio station and all of the great programming that we get to do here and, you know, offering people opportunities to share their voice with our community on the air and learn how to do radio.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know anything about radio, and now I'm like, what's his name? Rush Limbaugh, move aside. I'm a coming.
Don't let him hear you say that.
He's already upset.
He's too worried about fluoride. The fluoride was what I was going to say.
The fluoride.
Isn't he one of the ones that gets worried about fluoride in the water?
No, I think that's actually, I'm just going to put it out there. No, not to...
I'm sorry.
Don't you say his name one more time. He's going to pop up out of nowhere.
Sorry, Beetlejuice rules here, folks. It is spooky season. We got to be careful.
Nothing spookier than Alex Jones just popping out of nowhere.
With how often we invoke political pundits.
Darn, we said it twice now.
Okay, yeah, no, we're done. We're going to move on.
Moving on. So Althea, listeners might not know that you basically or Kabu hosted the debates for between UDaily and Mingus Maps.
Yeah, for and Portland City Commission position four. The other day we hosted a virtual debate. Our web coordinator and one of our anchors put most of it together, but I got to edit the version for air. Very exciting.
Very exciting. Don't tell Rush. Then we were talking about it a little bit, and you were, you know, just talking about the debate and your impressions from it. And one thing that you mentioned was who was endorsing whom. And then we just kind of started going down an interesting rabbit hole of endorsements and what they kind of mean these days, and, you know, kind of went down a long path. But I'd love for us to kind of, you know, circle back to that and maybe talk about a little bit on the show today. And because I think that, you know, obviously, and then, you know, we're talking about, you know, federal, kind of like the federal response and the local response, and how not necessarily that one's more important than the others, but there are certain laws or policies that will affect a day-to-day, a regular person, regular schmegular, like, you know, like us, and how it affects them more as opposed to, like, a big, you know, election, like, you know, per se, you know, something more on the federal level. So not necessarily just, you know, the executive branch, but on a federal level. So, and your one interesting thing that, you know, if you want to start from there, wherever you want to start from, was the COVID response, the federal response to COVID, and how they were basically telling the state to, you know, you do it on your dime, and then, you know, we'll see what happens. Yeah, you figure it out.
I don't care that you like not having that coordination. Yeah, it kind of came into this conversation of thinking about, especially obviously election rapidly approaching. I'm waiting on my ballot. I got my ballot, the packets. I got two of them, one for the state, one for the county. Thick newspaper type paper. Very excited to read it. But it got me to thinking about, you know, what change we can look for at a state and local level and what things we can look for at a federal level, right? There are some types of policy change that are better suited to, if they are really like new and innovative, they're better suited to being in the state and local arena, right? Like there's some of those on the ballot this in Oregon this year, for example, like legalizing psilocybin for clinical like psychiatric use, or even thinking about like the legalization of marijuana in certain states. At the federal level, that's not something that the federal level like on its own would ever roll out, you know? But, you know, if you ever took like a civics or government course, you might remember that political scientists talk about like state and local levels as like the
laboratories of democracy.
Laboratories of democracy. They get to test everything out.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's interesting, especially in this time where we really are thinking about progressive change and trying to make things better for people. There is some of that like, you know, testing out new models and methods of policing that are really well done at a local level, that is where that kind of stuff gets tested out, and what works gets extrapolated to higher levels of government. But then thinking about like the federal government and what do we actually need from the federal government, like there are certain problems that the federal government is so much better equipped to address, and some of it has to do with the money that they
spend. It all goes back to the money.
Yeah, and Tammy has a great analogy for this, but it's basically the federal government can pass a deficit budget where they spend more money than they have, and that can really address the sort of things, the sort of crises on the horizon if there aren't enough going on right this second. Like, for example, the housing crisis that we're going to be facing as soon as these eviction moratoriums run out, because we haven't seen rental relief. You know, there's people who are not out on the street, but they are accruing at least 6 months of back rent that sudden one day, snap your fingers, it's going to come due. And basically what has been prescribed, what we need is federal level relief of at least $100 billion to relieve that, so that people don't have incurred debt like this, and also we don't have people out on the street.
Well, because that's the, you know, the analogy that you're saying is that the federal government has, what I was saying, that they have the credit card, mm-hmm. while the states have the debit card. So,
yeah.
You know, if that's kind of just putting it as simple as possible. So you can imagine that if you're going to go and relief, let's say, just throwing out completely, I know I'm underballing it, but just lowballing, excuse me, 100 people, right? Mm-hmm. And they have accrued 6 months worth of rent each. Now you can imagine that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe let's say 2,000 people, and each one of them accrued, you know, 6 weeks worth of back rent. That is, there's so many
years worth of rent.
What's that?
1,000.
That's 1,000 years worth of rent.
1,000 years worth of rent.
2,000 people, 6 months each. That's 12,000 months.
Whoa.
Ugh. Well, then.
Imagine trying to pay 1,000 years of rent.
You just stressed me out. I'm just going to leave right now. I'm so stressed out by that. But
the thing is, the really great thing about all of this is it's just a story we tell ourselves and each other. We made all this up, and mm-hmm. we can just decide not to do it anymore.
Oh, whoa. That's interesting. Well, I mean, that's, you know, when you do, I think that there's something to that, because when you are faced with 6 months worth of rent and you have no relief from the state because the state can't afford it and the federal government isn't coming in and swiping it on their debt on their credit card, then what is the person supposed to do? Because at the end of the day, you know, it's poli-sci and it's like, you know, deficit and it's economy and this and that. But at the end of the day, it's the hungry lone person that is just like either mentally going to check out because you cannot deal with that much stress, at least in my personal, you know, or you're going to figure out like you got, I mean, it's not fair. You know, it's not fair at all. You didn't ask for the pandemic to happen. You didn't create this instability that we're all suffering. You know, you didn't do any of this. And mm-hmm. yet here you are kind of, you know, suffering from the brunt of it all. And, so it's interesting, you know, going back to the debate, it's interesting to see who was backing whom, like, you know, and then the mm-hmm. endorsement, because you said, I think you said that Mingus has the Landlord Association endorsement or something.
Yeah, there was most of the contention in the debate, which if folks are interested in hearing it back, you can check out the KBOO Facebook page or listen to the radio edit, which should be on the front page of our website, or you can search up the evening news. But yeah, so part of the main point of contention is that Mingus Mapps, who is challenging Chloe Udaly for position 4 to be a city commissioner in the city of Portland, he is endorsed by the Portland Police Association, which is the union for Portland police officers. He's endorsed by them. He's endorsed by the Landlord Lobby and Portland Business Alliance. And those are things that Udaly really like came after him for, and was really trying to drive home that, you know, I would never have endorsements like this, even though, you know, he is going to, he also wants to talk about police reform and addressing racial justice. Like, look who's endorsing him. Who really likes him at this point? And it got me to thinking about, like, endorsements, and especially in, like, local races, a lot of times they're nonpartisan, right? They don't have, like, the D or the R or the I or the L or the G of what party they're associated with. So that kind of, like, quick fix of, like, oh, okay, great, I'm a libertarian, I know that I'm gonna like this person, right, this is who I'm gonna vote for, I don't need to devote hours of my life to doing this sort of in-depth comb through all of their media or their website or what other people have said about them. In local races, a lot of times that's not available, and so endorsements are another good proxy for, am I actually going to agree with this person, is this person aligned with things that I'm interested in. I thought it was super, super interesting, and that we, like, the debate actually got into a little bit of how those endorsements come about, which I didn't know.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not an elected official. Why would I know? But
not yet.
Hello.
Ew. Watch out, 2020.
Nope, just kidding. Can't do that here. Wouldn't want to anyway. But anyway, like, that these endorsement meetings, because, you know, Mingus Maps then tried to come to Chloe Udaly and say, well, like, well, you took the meeting too. You also went to talk to the PPA for their endorsement. And she was saying how, like, you have to take, like, everybody goes to these endorsement meetings. If you don't go to the endorsement meeting, it's seen as really rude if you don't do it. And even though she is ideologically opposed to the Portland Police Association, because the Portland Police Association doesn't really want things to change in the police bureau or have their responsibilities moved to different entities, for example, like if we took Portland Street Response citywide, that it was an opportunity for her to talk to, like, rank and file officers that she wouldn't otherwise get, and that, you know, why would he, and if he, and he got this in-kind donation, which basically means that they didn't give him money directly, but they spent money on, like, things that they mailed out that said, like, hey, we support Mingus Maps, if you're in the police union, you should do. But that he's like, oh, it's an in-kind donation, I couldn't give it back. And then she's like, you could give it back, you could refund them $15,000 right now.
Ooh, sounds like a juicy what is this is on juicy. The website, it's on the front page,
it's on the website.
Nice.
Yeah, or the Facebook.
Take that, House of Cards.
I don't know, I get excited by these kinds of things.
Yeah, it's stimulating,
you know.
This is what we're into.
Yeah. I enjoy them. And, you know, it's radio, so you can't really see necessarily people, you know, shaking a finger. Or that is one of my favorite things about political debates in the past, is just when they have the split screen and you just see somebody just like, ugh, like their mic's off, but they're like throwing up their hands and they're like, you know, pulling faces and stuff. That's my favorite thing. It's just the reaction shots.
The UK has some pretty, their parliament, they get, whoo, they get hard. Yeah, like that. They get very
feisty.
Into it, very feisty. Yeah. Yes. Endorsements. That's interesting. It's, I think that when we're talking about it, you know, you're talking about these endorsements from bodies or institutions that are relevant and important and have a direct impact to the community. But then, and on top of that, you also have this other world called the internet. You know, and in there you have these, I guess we can say, false idols that are the blue checked Twitteratis.
Get them, Tammy.
And
this was all a ruse.
It's all a ruse. You know, you have to ask to get verified.
Yeah, I think there's an account called and people who are like not high level, like famous in whatever their arena, they'll be like, they'll tell their followers like, tweet at verify or whatever.
Oh,
it is.
Wow.
Get me verified, you guys, come on.
Jeez. I'll tell a story about that later on. They endorse people too, you know. And last week when we were speaking with Richard, he was saying, you know, Cardi B and Kim Kardashian, you know, as much as they are, you know, not necessarily political science, you know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, they can get on with like Noam Chomsky as much as the next guy, but, you know, the fact that they do have these platforms and that they do, quote unquote, endorse or use, as they like say, use their platform to shed light on a situation And it's something that we haven't really had before. And if we did, it was something in the lengths of like Jane Fonda and Brando, you know, like refusing to take the whatever Emmy or Oscar, whatever thing that he was getting, and had a Native American woman take or disregard, you know, the prize that he was getting, the award. So it's, you get, you know, so seeing like who is endorsing you, it's also interesting, like, because, you know, taking it back to the federal level, I mean, you know, it was, you know, I mean, we saw Beyonce and Cardi B and all of these, like, you know, pop culture, you know, icons being becoming really political, and more recently too. So it makes me, I don't know, it makes me, I mean, it's awesome that people are getting more engaged and are, you know, more interested, but it makes me wonder, like, are people just going fully on endorsements? Are they, could any of these folks, like, let me know, like, what platform, like, what does this candidate stand for, or what is, you know, actually, like, what, like you said, people, especially, and then going back on the local level, people aren't necessarily going back through the social media, and they aren't necessarily digging up, you know, your past and seeing exactly, you know, because there are the endorsements. And so, yeah,
it's interesting. Yeah, well, and it's this tough thing, right? Because you ask so much of a voter every single election season.
Yeah,
you get a whole packet of information to try to digest, and sometimes if it's ballot measures, like, it's worded confusing on purpose.
It is.
They try to trick you sometimes.
It is. It so many double negatives.
Quick plug, a reason to take a look at who is in the Secretary of State position, because they approved that ballot kind of wording. But I think it was 2016, maybe, when there was this, the grocery bag. It's like, no more grocery bags or something. And it was worded really confusing, and people were not sure what they were really voting for. But anyway, all of that to say that you ask a lot of a voter, and, you know, it kind of feels crummy to vote and not feel like you know what you're talking about, and that the endorsement can be a shortcut. But then, you know, if the shortcut is from, I don't know, like grassroots organizations, for example, and you're like, oh, I know I'm ideologically aligned with this group, or I really appreciate what they do and they think this is a good idea, so I'm going to go ahead and support that. It's a little bit different than, like, Cardi B makes really good music. And she does. She does.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call it music.
I mean, I just didn't come in here to roast Cardi B. That's what I want to be really clear about. Because I think it's also, like, as much as we can be negative about it, and, like,
right,
that, you know, oh, people are just going to vote because Cardi B said they should vote. And it's like, well, those people might not have wanted to vote otherwise.
That's true.
If Cardi B, you know, if you're a trendsetter in whatever way, you know.
You're talking about Swiffer.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
No, there was like a, I think it was in 2016, Taylor Swift had been like apolitical for all this time, and people were kind of coming after her about it. And she finally came out and said that people should vote. And there was like a marked uptick in voter registration in like a few different states. I want to say like Tennessee and like Kentucky, like saw a mass voter registration because, you know, Taylor Swift had been like, hey, I want everybody who thinks that I'm good to go vote. And everyone was like, oh, okay, I'll do it.
It's interesting. It's, I wonder, like, what the future looks like if I don't know, we're kind of becoming more open with who we are. I don't know. We're, you know what I mean? Like, we're kind of being more, because the fact that someone who is, that these people do have a platform, and then that they do have a ripple effect, because, you know, say politics is culture is upstream from politics, and so if they do have like that kind of massive power, like, I don't know, do you think that it is actually plausible that like in 2040 or so, well, I don't know, maybe not that far, but like, I don't know, that one day we will have like Kanye actually running for president or something? Like, at what point, I mean, we have had two actors, a failed actor and a reality star, basically, you know, win. So, I don't know. I wonder what the political landscape is going to be looking like in, you know, the upcoming, I don't know, you know, just 12 years or something. 'Cause,
yeah, dang.
Yeah, it's,
Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was going to be like, well, I think we already are there. And I kind of spaced on Ronald Reagan for a second there. But yeah, you know, like people...
He tried. He tried and failed.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I've actually never seen any of those movies. He was only in like one or two, right? I don't know. And they're like, this guy's handsome enough. He could be president. Come on. He could be the governor.
He's handsome enough. He could be president. That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, I think it obviously, like, with Trump being the example, like, I think for at least a couple cycles, it will put a lot of people off the kind of like bravado showbiz type. But so much of his success is really like built on what people perceive to be what he does rather than what he actually does, which is like, oh, it's so cool when he like tells people that they're fired and like yells at them and like he lives in an all gold house. You know, I don't mean to like trivialize any of the terrible things that he's done, but like that's what a lot of people think of when they think of Donald Trump is like, you know, went from roasting D-level celebrities that came on his show to now, you know, roasting the libs. Like, I'm going to tell him, you know.
He does go on. He goes off. He really goes off.
Yeah, and, you know, retweets white supremacists and all of this other stuff, you know.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I have to, you know, I'll do the bit, and then I have to get grounded in the fact that he did that sort of stuff, you know.
I think that there is something to be said about kind of like, I don't know, you know, when you're like, you know, kind of, we all went through all of this and maybe some people are like, well, he's a businessman. It could be a good idea, you know? And,
yeah.
And it just, so many things happened that weren't, that didn't reflect that original notion necessarily, at least not for a greater population, maybe for a small percent of, you know, people.
Yeah.
So I think that there's something to be said about, we just want to go back to normal.
Well, and I think it like, and that sort of like mentality of like, he's a businessman, he's doing a business deal, is one that we've talked about before when I come back to the mantra of like, it's okay to want a president that doesn't do that. Because it's like it's the can versus should thing. It's like, I mean, I guess you can do that, but we have all of these things in place that would say that you shouldn't do that. So, I mean, moving forward, I think there's going to be moving from the should to the you have to kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, like, just because you can put your name on, like, food stamp vouchers to try to manipulate people doesn't mean that you should. And actually, I think that is illegal, but no one's going to enforce it right now. Like, all of these things that he's doing because, you know, he's falling behind in the polls and is now trying to use government resources to stay in the government. All of those, or like the dealing that he's done with China, like just being so unpredictable. He's like, oh, he's a businessman. He has plans. Like, a businessman is someone who is, by definition, self-interested. He is advancing himself. And the president isn't supposed to do that. And we had all these things in place that were supposed to stop that. But it didn't really stop him necessarily.
It's kind of scary that just shouldn't is what had stopped.
A lot of it comes down. A lot of it comes down to norms. But like the Hatch Act, why aren't we enforcing that? Or the Emoluments Clause? I mean, there's a lot of things to consider like that. But yeah, the president actually shouldn't get anything out of being president. The president should just do what's right for people. So that's my hot take.
Hot take.
Hot. Super hot take. Super. burning hot. So I'm not sure what
okay.
We may have a caller on the line, but we're gonna
no,
just kidding, we're yakking it up over here.
So
if you do want to call in,
yes,
I should say that.
Yeah, I forgot, you know, it is a call-in number.
Especially we would love to hear from you. I got a question right here, like, what do you look for in candidates and how do you know that you found it? Like, endorsements is one way, knowing that you're like in the same political party. There's like other political figures that like them, gave them an endorsement or whatever. If you want to give us your thoughts on that, you can give us a call at 503-231-8187.
What do you look for in a candidate? Like, what makes you connect with them?
I mean, I like people who... that's a good question.
Thank you, I just thought of it on the top of my head. Thanks.
I mean, I think there's a little bit of it. I mean, it's like a balancing act, right? Because it's like, oh, politically, I agree with them. Like, I like that they support X, Y, and Z measures. Like, I'm really interested in what they want to do with this position. They have an innovative new idea. They're speaking to some problem that I have. Like, those are all things that I'm interested in. But then that sometimes gets like balanced with like, if you see how someone is in any kind of like public situation or like in a debate, like how do they carry themselves and like how do they interact with people? And if someone asks them a question that might not be super friendly, like do they get upset about it? You know, that kind of thing of like, how do they, like, do I feel like this person, I don't know. I don't want to go back to the thing of like that got George Bush elected, which is like, I just really feel like I could sit down and have a beer with it.
It always goes back to having a beer with
it. It's not, I don't feel that way. I just want to be clear about that. I prefer cider. So if they're not, no. What do you look for?
I think I'm like 100% like, what are your issues and where do you stand?
Mm-hmm.
If you lie to me, I will hold you accountable.
That's good.
I don't care what you look like. Like Bernie, you know, it's like, I don't care that you get pissed. I don't care that you're like, rah, 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 you know, mm-hmm. I don't care. I care about like, what are your issues? Or what's the bottom line and how do you like prepare to get there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if the candidate looks disheveled. Honestly, mm-hmm. maybe I prefer that a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't care if they've got like bloodshot eyes. I don't care if they're like from a little town in, you know, anywhere, mm-hmm. USA, like I just want to know what they stand for. And I guess also the record.
I was thinking you know, personal history, you know, what like made them want to do this.
If you get, you know, going back to have a beer with them, if they have like, you know, 10 DUIs or something, like, you know, there might be...
Don't put them in charge of the Department of Transportation, for example. And we could base our decision-making on that. People make decisions based on, you know, less credible criteria.
Yeah. And then I wonder, the endorsements for me, I think they are... They're important for me to know, like, who endorsed you, sure, but I don't think that it would turn me away either. I mean, obviously, if it's like... I don't know, David Duke is endorsing someone, then I'm probably not going to be into that. Or
probably?
Yeah, but I will not be into that. Okay, I shouldn't put any. I will not like that at all. I would be against it almost.
I will not restrain my dislike of that.
But if it's so obviously there's like, you know, there are set boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, I'd like to know, but it won't necessarily like, you know, sway me one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because it depends. Maybe, you know, if you said like the landlord association stuff, well, how much, you know, endorsing, like what kind of endorsement? What are we talking about? You know, mm-hmm. how much are we talking, enough for you to feel comfortable to not need to care about your constituents? Or are we talking like, oh, you know, you're creating leeway to have a conversation with this organization, with this association that's going to have like serious consequences for my constituents, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's kind of like creating this repertoire, creating like a conversation with unsuspecting possible allies, maybe trying mm-hmm. to, you know, find, maybe not. You know, I think that there's always room for conversation. I don't know, maybe the pandemic has made me a little less cynical, and you know,
interesting.
Everything that we're living
interesting,
through.
Interesting.
Yeah. No. This shift. This whole survival mode has to stop. We have to stand and smell the roses, or else the thorns will catch us as we're walking by it and engulf us, and then they'll be like, "All right, you have to smell these roses," which happened
you
to me the other day.
You better sit here and you better like it.
But yeah, we'd love to hear what you, the listener. Oh, Mitch is on the line. Great. Hey, Mitch, how are you?
Hello. Yeah, I'm calling to appreciate the following of Dark Money, especially after following Democracy Now!'s exposé on what's happening in the courts, and to hear you track that to local politics is good continuity, and we certainly need more of following the money. I'm especially part of a generation that seems to have turned their back on journalism, and it used to be journalism schools that taught that the job of a journalist is to follow the money. But that very principle has caused me to get very scared about what's happening at KABU without much attention being paid, and that is that I happen to work for the Kroger Corporation through their, they bought up Fred Meyer, and KABU is now taking corporate money from Kroger and offering Fred Meyer gift cards to their listeners, and I really thought KABU was insulated, the only, perhaps, along with some Pacifica radio networks, that was insulated from corporate donations. What's happened?
We appreciate, well, that sounds a little bit more like a statement, not a question, but if it is a question, then I would have to maybe tell you to ask the station manager, but as far as I know, that's not the case, but we appreciate the question.
You have service announcements on KABU programs for Kroger and for Fred Meyer gift cards, which Kroger owns?
Not that I've heard of on the air, but again, that is, I do appreciate following the dark money, because like we were saying, they're you know, a lot of it in the dark courts.
And Althea is the news director, and I've supported Althea on my media discussion list. I send a lot of links out to Althea's report.
Mitch, you may be confusing KABU having bought a bunch of gift cards to offer to thank people for their participation in a survey with some kind of donation or having purchased influence or something like that.
We'd be happy to follow up with you, Mitch. I'm just not sure that we have enough information to really engage with you about that right now.
Perhaps this isn't even, some would say, the time or the place, but we do very much appreciate this phone call, and we'll follow up with you, and have a fantastic weekend. Thank you so much, Mitch. So if you would like to tell us what you, the listener, are looking for in a candidate, we would love to hear your take. And oh, we are going to go on a quick musical break. Thank you so much.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me, ease my mind. Imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together. No matter how they toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. I can't see me loving nobody but you for all my life. When you're with me, baby, the skies will be blue for all my life.
Good morning. How are you? This is The Gap. Thank you for tuning back in. This is KBOO Portland, where we are doing the thing. I don't know if you knew, but we're in the midst of our membership drive. And if you're interested in helping out grassroots, community-led, volunteer-operated community pillar, then you can go to kboo.fm and go to the donate button, or just a page will pop up and you can do the thing. Let's see, Althea, you have anything you want to add there? You have any?
Well, I was just gonna say, every time you're like, we're doing the thing, I was like, what thing are we doing? I'm like excited. I'm
the
along.
Thing
we're along for the ride. I just wanted to mention again, if you want to donate to us, we can offer you a thank you gift from The Gap. If you mention us in the notes, we'll record you a little audio message. Happy to do that for you. Happy to thank our supporters with that kind of gift. It can really be whatever you want.
We'll sing happy birthday.
We'll sing happy birthday. Mm-hmm. Tammy will yell at a relative of yours.
Stop it, Frank.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about meditation, but I'm happy to record you a guided meditation. These are all things that The Gap can give to you as a thank you for supporting us and all of the great programming that we have on KABU. There's so much different stuff on this station. It's eclectic.
That's eclectic.
They call us. We're eclectic. You turn on the dial, you never know what you're going to get.
You never know what you're going to get. Box of chocolates.
Yeah.
I think we have a caller on the line.
No, we have input from the engineer.
Oh, sure. Yes, go on ahead.
You know, one thing I miss about the old style of the before time, from the long, long ago, when membership drives were a party. You know, we'd have six or seven volunteers in a room answering phones,
no kind mask. Of
coordinating all the phone stuff. And
no masks.
Yeah, no masks, too.
Flicking things.
And, you know, local restaurateurs would, because we were asking people to stay in one place for 3 hours at a time, restaurants and caterers would provide food for them, you know, because it was often straddled a mealtime. You know, early in the morning, they'd give us breakfast. In the afternoon, they'd give us lunch. Later in the evening, someone would give us dinner. And these were gifts that we received from local businesses and that we would acknowledge on the air to thank them for, you know, chipping in and helping us out with that. And in no way did any of that, what would you call it?
Compromise our integrity, I guess?
Exactly. Sure. And we followed very strict rules about how we acknowledged them, because these are the rules about operating a nonprofit entity in the state of Oregon and in the United States generally.
I appreciate that. That's
good bit of history.
Now Sonia's doing the darn thing right there. That's what I'm talking about. We appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, when I was new in town and I first started volunteering at KABU, I found out about places to eat because I, you know, volunteered here at the at the station, and I was like, oh, Bridges, cool. Let me check them out, you know, or like whatever. And it was cool because every place always had a vegetarian option, too. So I appreciated that. So I guess we could just move it on along.
Yeah, we could do a quick little pivot.
A pivot, yeah.
Just a quick little move.
Shimmy, shimmy, quarter turn. We, speaking of the after time, I guess this is the after times, right? There's the before times and the after times.
Sorry, I just...
I wish it was after.
Yeah, with every time, because I think I might have complained about this before, where I've been like, in these uncertain times, in these unprecedented times, it's like, I don't want to talk about counting on when this is over, but like maybe this time next year, I'm going to come out and I'm going to start, in these certain times, very precedented and fine and okay times.
Yeah, you don't think of like, yeah, the regular things. You're just like, aw. Like,
but it makes me so annoyed. It's like, yeah, I know. I know it's uncertain and unprecedented. I'm living it. Stop sending me emails.
Yeah, there's a lot of emails. We need to acknowledge it. Well, I guess, you know, I don't know. Maybe it helps.
Who does it reach? And they're like, wait, what's going on?
It's like, what? I didn't know about this
thing. What's uncertain right now? I was feeling fine until I saw your...
Gosh, right?
Sorry, go ahead.
We were talking a little bit. Actually, in the beginning of the after times, we were talking a little bit about, like, you know, dating and people that are, who, like, main, like, social, you know, the way that they get recharged and the way that they live their lives, basically, is going out and being with friends and socializing and bars and parties and all that stuff. And we're like, oh, that must be hard for them because none of that no more. And then Althea and I, you know, were talking offline about relationships, because my mom was telling me that two of her friends have gotten divorced since the pandemic. I don't know if that, you know, says anything about the longevity to begin, you know, even if the corona didn't happen, but it is something that's been starting to pop up a little bit more, and while that's, like, heartbreaking and stuff, I, you know, started thinking, wait, what about, like, parents? Because, you know, I don't have kids right now, but there are people out there that are outnumbered by their children in their own household right now. Like, there are people with four children, three children, seven children. Can you imagine that? Every single one of them are on their own thing. Every single one of them has their own set of schooling. Every single one of them have their own bandwidth for how much you can deal with it. And different ages. Oh, my God. You know?
I like the way you put that. I grew up with two sisters, and I don't think we realized our own power to overwhelm our parents.
You outnumber them.
too focused on our own political infighting to go after the man, and by the man I mean my dad.
Oh,
that's a joke, folks.
I went online and I looked for some clips of people talking about what it's like parenting during the pandemic, and I found this one clip from USA Today, and it was really sad because they're all single parents. And they were co-parenting, and then there was also mentioning, we'll just go ahead and roll the tape.
Dad, she'll be gone for 2 nights. It's terrifying. I can control what we do here in our house and how we do things and how we stay safe. Once she leaves here, I have zero control over what happens there. I can't make him wash his hands. I can't make him not have friends over. I can't make him do anything the right way. I can just like ask it and try to explain why, but we don't have a great relationship.
Mom! Mom!
I've gone mad.
So we moved up here in September 2018. He left end of October 2018, so 7 weeks after we moved up here.
Where's
my And I was just completely isolated for so long. And it was about 6 or 7 months ago that I actually finally got out and had friends, and I'm right back at being isolated again.
What is it?
It's a rainbow carrot with a fish tail and a smiling face.
And there's three of them, and it's just, it's non-stop. I'm always on.
Yay.
That's not bubbles, by the way. That is water.
Both myself and my son Max, his mother as well, we've both been affected in terms of employment status changes. My son's mother works in the education field, so with schools closing down, there have been changes there. My morning work was furloughed due to the reduction of flights. Fortunate enough that my evening work and the cargo logistics that involves has been deemed as an essential function, so that job continues. Parental duties with my child are such that he's with me roughly half the week. He's with his mom half the week.
Max is with his mother right now, so that means the mask is on and it's errand day.
People talk about self-care a lot, and that's vital. Because, it's like they always say, you got to put your own mask on before you help anybody else.
I'm especially organized right now, short-tempered at times, recognizing that that's part of what it is. My son is like, hey, you're being a little cranky today. You're being a little cranky. Do you need a nap? Actually, I need a nap, okay? So, yeah, it's real right now. But I'm grateful for the basics. The reality is, boundaries are a thing of the past.
Yeah, mommy's in between meetings. Kind of works out, right?
Yeah.
Aw, kind of works out. That must be so hard. I felt, especially in the first lady that was speaking about, you could hear in her voice how stressed she was about her son going over, sleeping over at his dad's house, and I wonder if the father wasn't taking COVID seriously and kind of mishmashing and not really following precautions. And so mm-hmm. you could hear how she was, kind of worried about it. Do you have any takes from that? From that clip?
It just makes me think about, so much of what we've been hearing is how parents are now, required to also be teachers, mm-hmm. and also all of these things that they weren't really being asked to do all the time anymore. And I don't know, I feel like it's a lot to ask. And of course there's you have to ask it of your parent, but depending on what grade you are in school, it's I don't, if I were a parent, I don't know how helpful I could be on certain aspects of that,
right?
And yeah, that there's just so much more to juggle. Plus, and like, not only that, but also like this pressure to like make the most of it, and that you better not waste it. You better not do a good job. Don't park your kid in front of the TV.
You better really enjoy this quality time with your children,
it's or family else. Time, and we're never getting it back.
Jeez, you're never leaving here. Yeah. That must be so stressful. I'd love to hear from any parents or anything from people. 503-231-8187 for the remaining time. It's interesting, you know, single parents, you know, unfortunately just people who are ending relationships, realizing that it just wasn't the thing, or even people who ignited relationships during these really unprecedented times,
unprecedented,
as Ophelia likes to say.
They're, and here's what I will say about these times, they're uncertain.
They're uncertain and unprecedented.
Somebody liked that one. You guys couldn't hear it, but you liked it.
Sheesh. You know, you have, and on top of all of that, you have to like now take time to explain to your kid, you know, depending on mm-hmm. what your family is like, you know, explaining to the kid about like, why are there protests on the streets, mommy? Like, who is this, you know, why is this, why do I keep seeing this flyer of this person's face on it all the mm-hmm. time, you know? And I don't know. I can't imagine children being able to hold on to their innocence during yeah. these times.
Well,
you know?
And just like thinking about all of those questions that you have to answer, and how, like, kids just, they ask, they're in that phase where they're like, well, but why?
Uh-huh. But
what? Why? It's like, are we there yet? It's like, I don't know where we're going.
We're trying to figure out but why too.
I'm trying to, you know, ride out this pandemic / flu season until maybe something else changes. I don't know.
Explain to them why they can't do like holidays with the parents.
Yeah,
or
why we
families
can't go see
or
your grandparents. Why you can't go play with your friends.
Why do you have to cross the street when you see someone coming when you walk the dog? You yeah. know, it's these little things. They're really,
it's complex stuff to ask kids to understand and ask them to tolerate. You know, like that. You know, even if you haven't been alive that long, everyone's whole life has been upended by this.
Yes.
And imagine if you're like 8 years old.
I'd love to hear from an 8 year old.
If you're out there and you want to call in and tell us what's up, or if you're older than 8 years old.
Yeah.
503-231-8187 is the number. We'd love to hear from you.
With your parents' permission, though.
With your parents' permission, what has changed about your relationships during the pandemic?
Mm.
Family life?
I wonder, what about you? I want to ask you some of these questions.
Okay.
We're really getting to know each other.
All right. Let's do it. What's the question?
How are your relationships changed?
Well, they've definitely, like, okay, so I live here with a roommate, right? And that's, like, we started living together in January, and then pandemic rolls around in March. And so that, you know, what was a really easy roommate situation where like we got along, we both had separate lives, would see each other every once in a while, mm-hmm. like sit down, eat at the same time, and like it was great, was now suddenly like, oh, we're here together at the same time all the time and nobody leaves, and if you leave, something very bad will happen to you. So that was definitely a shift to manage. I think we've done it relatively gracefully. Like, there's definitely been some times where I was like, you know, and this is, you and I were talking about this yesterday, it was just like, you know, at the beginning of March when we're like, okay, we're gonna have to shut everything down for 2 weeks, like it's like, oh, I'm gonna get pushed to the brink of
right.
not being able to handle this anymore. And now it's like, how many times have I been pushed to the brink?
All right, how many times have you dyed your hair since the beginning of the
right.
pandemic?
How many piercings have you gotten? How many stick and poke tattoos?
How many DIY tattoos?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's right,
like, but how many times have I gone through that cycle right. of being like, I can't take this anymore. Blah. I'm going to go on a walk. I have a new perspective. I saw a flower. I guess everything's okay. Maybe I'll chill out for a little while.
There's something about that. Oh, we have a caller. Stevie Ray on the line.
Can you hear us, Stevie?
Yes, ma'am. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, so first I have to say, longtime listener, I love you guys' show. Okay, so I'm one of those moms here in Portland, Oregon. I have two 13-year-old kids. So the thing I wanted to put out there for some parents, I know people are probably bummed out about not being able to do the trick-or-treating thing.
Mm.
So what we're going to do is we're still going to make our cut. We're doing the paper mache head and like the hand-sewn quilted cape thing. And we're just going to do like Pippi Longstocking's Children's Parade March. We're not going to go up to anybody's door, but we're going to put our costumes on. And we're going to hit, like, Alberta Arts District and just march down the street banging on pans. We've got our little bongo drum. So I want to put that out there.
I love that. That's creative, amazing.
You know, I'll see you guys out there loving you. Give them hell.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's amazing. That made me so happy. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I know trick-or-treating is one of those things that people are concerned about. Apparently, and I this is overheard, like, I don't know, but there's, like, a car trick-or-treating happening.
Oh, interesting.
But did it cost money? I don't know.
What? Oh, interesting. Sonia, I see you over there.
Sonia has...
I see you, Jake Sully.
You turning your lights on.
Yeah, well, it would seem pretty easy to do a distanced trick-or-treating, right? You could, like, I mean, remember you'd have the people who just had a big bowl?
Yeah.
Full of candy, you could go ahead and take one.
But, I mean, then the kids' hands are in with all the other kids' hands. Here's what I'm saying. How good is your aim? You stand out in the street, look both ways, obviously, and I'm going to throw it, and you got to hold that up. You got to hold up your little...
I like it.
Catch it in the pillowcase or whatever your kind of thing is.
Trick-or-treat-it ball.
Yeah, and get everybody... Let's level up our throwing skills this Halloween.
Yeah.
You got a skeleton just, like, winging Twix bars at you.
Oh, man. I love that idea. I love all these ideas. I totally forgot about...
T-shirt cannon.
That's what I was thinking, but it might be too strong of a projectile throwing mechanism.
Have you ever had one? Have you ever caught a T-shirt at an event?
No, but I've seen them go off, and it's like...
Yeah, I mean, I guess you got to put some force behind it if you're throwing just like a piece of cloth.
It's like going like 20 feet, shooting it through the air at 20 feet.
Yeah.
I would love to be part of that. Now I forgot.
What was the question?
I'm just too excited about
T-shirt cannon.
It's his T-shirts in the parade.
When we get to certain times, I'm going to purchase a T-shirt cannon.
Oh, when certain times
for personal use.
See, now I'm thinking about that. I totally forgot about my. Oh, right.
Treating maybe.
I forgot. I've been just forgetting about the holidays because my birthday was in March, late March. So I was just like, I'm not even going to think about my birthday anymore. I'm not even going to think about the high holidays. I'm not even going to think about Halloween because it's like, you know, I don't want to bum myself out. But it's we're adapting.
Mm-hmm.
We're adapting.
Yeah.
And now, for the last 5 minutes, I'd like to ask the both of you, Halloween costumes. Or should we save that for a Halloween? Well, we're already here.
Well,
Halloween
costumes. Talk about it. Okay, so I haven't decided. I made a note. I made a note in my phone from back in March for like the end of September that just said Carol Baskin Halloween costume. And by the time September rolled around, I was like, it's not that good. You know, she's in the public eye again. She's on Dancing with the Stars. She's not performing well. And it's not that good of an idea.
You don't want to bring that type of energy to yourself.
No. Although I think I could create a convincing costume relatively easily.
Okay. Well, you already have the hair. Well, you know, like blonde hair.
Listeners, imagine me as just Carol Baskin, but younger, and I don't wear flower print. I don't wear animal print. But
I've never been married, so.
I've never been married, and I don't have a tiger sanctuary.
You do have leopard print. Is that a leopard print mask you're wearing, or?
Oh, no, it's got daisies on it.
Oh, it looks like leopard print from afar.
Okay, well, I'm giving people the wrong impression. What about you, Tammy? You have Halloween costume plans?
I usually stick with just movie stuff. I was one of the boys from Clockwork Orange last year.
Nice.
I still have the...
I drew.
Yeah, there we go. I'll say fellas, yeah. I think I'm just going to probably do that again. It's easy peasy, and... Mostly people don't know what I am. I wonder if I was a white dude, if they'd be like, "Oh my God, you're Alex from Clockwork Orange." But yeah, I wonder if
that's that whole bit from the episode of the zombie episode of Community.
She's not little. She's not Miss Piggy. How about you?
She's Glinda the Good Witch.
How about you, Sonia?
Well, my standby has been Triana Orpheus.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, she's a character on. In the first few seasons of the Venture Brothers, Dr. Venture, to help make ends meet, is renting out the one part of the research wing to Dr. Orpheus, Master of the Arcane.
Very cool.
I like
and
that.
He has a teenage daughter named Triana, who Dr. Venture's son Dean gets a big crush on. Aww. And so there's a sub arc there.
Nice.
I like that. My first crush name was Dean.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Dean, if you're out there.
He doesn't care.
Dean, hit up your girl.
He did not like any of this. Well, we are just about out of time. I'd like to thank...
No, seriously, Dean, 503-231-8187.
We won't be here, Dean. Don't call it.
I'll be here, Dean.
Sonia's going to hang around and wait for Dean. Tammy, the outro, please.
I mean, if in case Dean does call, like, you know, what's up? Yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been The Gap. I'm Tammy in the studio, not on the line. In the studio with me is the fabulous Althea Billings. Thank you so much, Sonia, for all of your skills. Coming up next is Vet Voice. Thank you for tuning in to KBOO.
Have a good
weekend.
One. Bye.
Bye. Then get back to business. See, you better not play me. Oh, come here, baby. Hope you still like me if you pay me. My persuasion can build a nation. Endless power. Without love, we can devour. You'll do anything for me.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 9 a.m. Coming up next is the Veterans Voice with your host, Marvin. Stay tuned.